you that, Lord, as a man, I can study, I can show myself approved, I can attend classes, I can gather information, I can do all the things that a man can do, but I can't do what the Holy Spirit can do, and that's take it and turn it into a live word that can minister to a heart. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll do just that. With the words that I speak, that those that have ears to hear would hear what the Spirit hath to say in regards to this precious anointing that you have available for every believer in Jesus Christ. Lord, speak through me this morning. I pray in your name. Amen. We're talking about the anointing. We're talking about the pursuit of the anointing. And we've said that you first have to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And that was represented by the city of Gilgal. Remember, the beginning place for the Hebrews? You first have to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. It's represented by Gilgal, which means committing one's life to the Lord. You can't get the anointing until you've committed your life to the Lord. You then come into intimacy with Him. It's not just coming to the cross and staying at the cross and camping in your salvation. Then we come to intimacy with Him, and that was represented by the city of Bethel. And of course, we know Bethel means the awesome presence of God, or the gateway into His presence. So we come to the cross to get saved. Then we come to the gateway into His presence to get intimate, right? And then we press on to maturity, and that was represented by what? The city of Jericho. Why? Because Jericho means fruitfulness, growth, and development. Grapefruit grow there like what? Watermelons. If you go there, you see that it's a fruitful, mature place. And so we say we got to commit our life to the Lord at Gilgal, then we got to get into the awesome presence of God through our devotion to Him, and then we come to the city of Jericho, which represented the fruitfulness or our growth and development. And finally, you arrive at the Jordan River, where you must, again, decide whether to cross over into your calling. So you can be saved and go through church your whole life and just sit there and not do a blessed thing, not enter into the anointing, not do powerful things for God. You're just content with getting to heaven. But Elijah and Elisha are showing a pattern here by going from city to city before getting to the Jordan, which we're going to discuss for a few weeks, to where God's taken us someplace. Yeah, He's taken us from earth to heaven, but in the meantime, there's a place from the last gospel message to Revelation where He wants us to live. It's a place of growth and maturity where we can be used by Him to represent Him to the world. And the crossroads of that is at this Jordan River, which we're about to describe, where you got to decide to cross over into your calling, or we call it our inheritance, or simply remain living on yesterday's revelation and provision. I want you to hear that. You got to make a decision and a line in the sand to cross over into your calling or inheritance, or just simply live on yesterday's scriptures you read, yesterday's provision that God had for you, yesterday's information that you received, yesterday's, yesterday's, yesterday's. This was the climax of Elijah and Elijah's journey together. This is where the decision was made by Elisha to cross over into his calling instead of remaining in the school of the prophets that were standing on the other side of the Jordan watching from afar. Wow, this is pretty cool. Elisha's getting a double portion of the anointing. He's a king's son. Wow, he's going to be our next leader, when they all had the potential to have it. But only one received it because he wanted it. 2 Kings 2, 6 and 7. We're at the Jordan now. We went from Gilgal, to Bethel, to Jericho. We went to the cross. We became intimate into His presence. We began to grow. We're beginning to mature. And now we arrive at the Jordan River. Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here." Remember, that says he says that in every place. And what does that mean? Cling to me. Make your abode right here with me. Learn the lessons of this place before we move on. Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Stick with me. We're heading to the next level. And he said, "As the Lord lives," this is now Elisha's response to Elijah saying, "Stick close to me, we're heading to the Jordan. As the Lord lives and as you and you live yourself, I will not leave you." He never lost that attitude. Wherever you go, I know the anointing rests with you. I'm going after it. So the two of them went on. Now, this is the key. 50 men are the sons of the prophets. Elijah had schools of prophets like we have schools today and seminaries and all the students that go to learn or want to become a pastor or a teacher or whatever. 50 men of these guys, and Elisha was 51, went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. How many times do we see that remnant going after God with all their heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and the rest of them are sitting at the cross waiting for the bus, not wanting to get into their inheritance, not wanting to cross over into their calling. Just go on with the world's activities and bring the world in and make your money and do whatever you think you need to do instead of entering in and going and crossing the Jordan and saying, God, your calling on my life is far greater than any calling I could possibly have in this world. 50 of them watched from afar. They didn't even go near the Jordan River. But there was Elisha saying, let's go, make a way. Didn't seem to be a way. Water keeps running here. But God makes a way. And He knows how to stop water from running, doesn't He? So here we have, notice the sons of the prophets, I call them the religious, okay? Don't go to Jordan, verse 7. Oh, they will go with you to Gilgal. But many of them stay in Gilgal, remaining quite comfortable in their conversion experience. How many people do you know like that? Yeah. Stick there. We're not leaving Gilgal, man. That's just, I'm converted. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I don't need any more in my life. I don't want all the stuff you guys are getting by going further with God. Others may even go on with you to Bethel because they're worshipers and they're intercessors. They have gifts. They know how to dance and sing and prophesy. Still others will go to Jericho because they make what? Great teachers, intellectual men of wisdom and understanding. They're fruitful. They'll even go that far. But you got to understand that all three of these places are just pit stops. They are learning places on the road to the other side of the Jordan where the anointing is. Do you understand that? Having the gifting alone is not enough. Being able to prophesy and dance and say, and Jesus says, I didn't even know you. You're doing all these things on stage. You're going to church. You're very active. You're busy, busy, busy. But I never knew you. Folks, getting to the cross is the first step. Certainly, being devoted to Him and becoming intimate to Him, getting to know who He really is, that's really important. And then having the gifts and saying, wow, now I've got spiritual gifts. What do I do with these? They lead you to the Jordan, which is where we all have to eventually get to. These guys, they park it, and they were watching from afar. They didn't want the real anointing, which was on the other side of the Jordan. So I say that the sons of the prophets, the religious men, will stand back and look from afar when it's time to cross. When the altar call is given, not just to get saved, but to cross the Jordan and say, let's go, you're part of the body. What has God given you? What is it that is your inheritance that you're called to do inside this body? Let's go. Come on. I'm busy. I'm busy with the world. I can't. I don't have time. We got to meet on Thursday nights for this, and we got to meet on Friday nights. Thursday nights, I got bowling, and Saturday nights, I got time with. Stand from afar then and watch. Watch the sons of God work. When you have the potential to be one of those sons. It takes sons of God. We call them sons of the Spirit to cross into Canaan and receive their true inheritance. 2 Kings 2, 8 through 10. That's not it. 2 Kings 2, we need 8 through 10. And Elijah took his mantle and folded it together, and he struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now it came about, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, Let a double portion of your Spirit, your anointing, be upon me. And he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Here's an important point you have to remember. That when you cross the Jordan, you have to do it alone. Listen to me. You must, when you cross the Jordan, at that point of your experience with God, you have got to do it alone. You have to die to yourself completely. Not 50% of you, not 75% of you. I still want my business and I want my ministry. I still want my extracurricular activities and I still want my ministry. And maybe God will give you some of that. But most often when He tells you to do something, He wants complete submission and obedience to whatever He's asked you to do. And nobody can do that for you. Only you can do that. It's a desire that's based out of true love, not a decision based on the facts. Listen to me. It is a decision based out of true love, not a decision based on the facts that are going on in your life. The blessing is on the other side of the Jordan where you can hear God say, and we saw this through Elijah, ask what I can do for you. See, you can't ask for that on this side of the Jordan. You can't just jump from your salvation experience and say, okay, here I am, Lord, put me at the pulpit. I don't have to get intimate with you. I don't have to grow my beard. I don't have to grow into maturity. I don't have to get submitted and be under someone else's authority before I have to be in authority. I'm just ready to jump over across that Jordan. No. When it's time and you have all these people around you training you up in the way that you go, you need other people. And that's the corporate experience you have. But when you enter that anointing, when you're standing up here and God has given you that microphone and it's time for you to exercise your gift, you got to do that alone. Nobody's going to hold your hand when that time comes. They're going to need to see the power and authority of God acting through little insignificant you. The blessing is on the other side of the Jordan. He's going to ask you, what can I do for you? Elijah answers, I want to be your crown prince son. Whoa. We're going to get into that a little bit more later about what that is. But it really means I want a double portion. See, the crown prince son in Israel got a double portion of the inheritance. So what he's asking for here, he says, I want a double portion of the anointing. But again, remember, you can't get to the Jordan River without first experiencing salvation, intimacy, and growth. All right, so we're at the Jordan. Let's talk about what the Jordan means. The waters of the Jordan are basically the source, and we were just there. They're basically the source of life for Israel. Without the Jordan River, there would be no Israel. A dry, barren desert filled with absolutely nothing. And when Israel returned, springs in the desert began to pop up. The Jordan River flowed, and all of a sudden, Israel came to life. It's what it represents. It represents life. That's what the Jordan means. The deserts blossom like a rose, the Bible says, because of Jordan's water. These waters, if you go over there, descend from Mount Hermon, giving its life, and you got to picture this, to Israel along the way. They start at Mount Hermon, which is up in Syria, and they flow down right through the middle of the heart of Israel, giving life to all of Israel, and they wind up in the Dead Sea. Life given out to its fullest, flowing out, only to die. In the Dead Sea. What does that remind you of? For those who are spiritual and have spiritual ears to hear right now. The Dead Sea is where the Jordan's life comes to an end. The word Jordan comes from the Hebrew word yarad, which means to descend, to flow down. It literally means to pour out. What did Paul say one time? I'm going to pour myself out as a drink offering unto you. I don't want to be left with anything. I'm going to give everything that I have so that there's nothing left when they bury me, that the anointing's not going with me. It's staying right here with you guys. The Jordan empties its life to all of Israel as it passes through from Syria, and it goes down and it ends up and winds up in this Dead Sea. It pours out. Spiritually, it means to empty or to die to self. Jordan spiritually means to pour out, to empty yourself. Literally, I am dying to self, and I am now giving myself wholeheartedly to the land. In this particular case, what? To God. So what Jordan means to the land, you are to God as you pour out and you give yourself completely to God for His benefit and for His glory. Elijah is telling Elisha here to die, listen, to die to the old life of Egypt and sin and self. Cross through the waters of Jordan and come alive unto God. Leave the other side of the Jordan where sin and rebellion and all the things that we do in life contrary to God live, and pass through the Jordan into your inheritance, into this land of Canaan where the promises of God are, and come alive unto God. This is the call that Elisha knew was there and was willing to sacrifice to do, while the 50 other sons of the prophets with all their giftings and going to church every week and being real religious and going to church on Sunday and Monday and maybe even Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday nights and then serving on the soup lines and doing all that stuff, they were content doing all that stuff and watching from afar as Elijah goes in and says, but I want the anointing and the power of God. I want a double portion. I want to raise the dead and heal the sick and deliver. There's a choice you got to make for that. You don't get there without going to Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho. You can't just arrive at that point. There's sacrifices need to be made. I left my job. I left everything. I knew that I had to do that if I was going to answer the call of God. Why? Because I needed Him. I couldn't do this in my own strength. I had no training. But I had to stop at Gilgal, and I had to go to Bethel, and I had to simply go to Jericho all along the way, and I did. I didn't just become a pastor. He's taken me through that cycle of life. I had to learn too. Come alive to God. Without the Jordan, folks, think about this. Without the Jordan, Israel would be a desert. Think about that. Without the Jordan, Israel would be a desert. Without you and me, the church, the world would be lost in a desert. You're it. I'm telling you, where you're sitting, you guys are it. Tag, you're it. Jesus said, I'm going to be with the Father. I'm going to be at His right hand. I'm coming back to get you all one day. In the meantime, you're my representatives. You're my ambassadors. You're the best that I have. You're the ones that got to go from the old world and the old life and die to self and hate sin as much as I do and let the world see a light that's not hidden on a hill, but it's open and spread out. You have to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. You got to let them know that I am alive and I'm alive in you. Cross that Jordan. You can't do it on this side of the Jordan. You can't have the world and the spiritual life too. It's just not going to work. Not if you want that double portion crown prince anointing. Not if you want to raise the dead and heal the sick. Oh, you can get up here and sing, and you can get up here and play the banjo, and you can get up here and take an offering, and you can go on a mission trip, and you can serve on a soup line, and that's all good and fine. You'll still go to heaven. You're not losing your salvation. But I'm here to tell you, I want a crown prince anointing. I want to go up to a brother who's dying and sitting in a wheelchair with Alzheimer's or whatever and stuff and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up. That comes through that crown prince anointing. That comes through the anointing we're talking about. It's not an easy thing to get. You got to sacrifice. You got to go through the Jordan. You got to leave the prophets behind. You got to leave religion behind. You got to get all your opinions about what church is supposed to be like. Put it behind you and get into a place where you know the church is the body of Christ. Functioning, everyone doing its part, everyone being a brick on the wall, everyone going after that water and getting to the other side instead of watching from afar and watching a precious few up on the altar do their thing. It's a decision. It's not like you got to get something. You got everything you need from Christ when you visit Gilgal. Right. You just got to start walking and head. You got to get to Bethel. You got to learn intimacy. You got to go to Jericho. You got to grow your beard. You got to mature. You got to be in church. You got to get under good leadership. You got to get taught. You got to get put into practice. That's what we're trying to do in here with you. So you can go out there and get those people saved and get those people won to Christ. God so loved the world, not just the Israelites, that He gave His only Son. Israel needs to get saved, and the Messianic Jews are the ones that are going to be the most prevalent in their life to get her done. But there's a whole world of Gentiles out there, trust me, that you can reach. But you got to be a light and you got to be an example. Israel's most precious commodity is its water. The world's most precious commodity is your revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not your gift of being able to heal the sick or raise the dead. You know what your precious commodity is? The revelation that Jesus is the Christ, like it was for Peter. Your testimony. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. God was dead in my trespasses and sins, but Jesus has made me alive. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes. I'll still sin, but I have a mediator before God. I'm forgiven, and I can move on. I don't have to be the same way I was yesterday. I can be a new man today and walk forward in the newness of that life. But, I'm not trying to throw this preaching at you. I'm trying to get it into your spirit that this is what's got to happen. Christ is coming back soon. He didn't want to come back for a week limping church going into the heaven. He wants to come back finding you and your inheritance in Canaan, in the promised land, raising the dead, healing the sick, protecting them as the world surrounds them with evil and fear. We should be a light without fear. Yes. That's not going to come with a casual relationship with God where you show up on Sunday only. It comes from a Monday through Sunday experience with God and good training.
Yes.
Visit Bethel. That's why I feel this church. We're a great place to train. But when you walk through those double doors, all of a sudden you got to become accountable. All of a sudden you got to get to a new level. All of a sudden it seems like, oh my gosh, I can't jump through. I just wanted to come in and just hear church and go home. That's not happening here.
That's right.
And it never will as long as I'm here. Maybe it will once when I'm gone, but not now. We're going into the promised land. You're going to have to drag you with me. If you stay here, we're going. Jordan, your testimony is life to the world. You have got to find a way to share it and give it. You each have your own way. Everybody's going to be sharing it differently. Some people are going to share it at work. Some people are going to share it through just going out on mission teams. Some people are going to just share it because you're a neighbor to somebody and wherever you may live. If you're like us, we move every 3 years. We always have new neighbors, so we can share. But we don't often. But, you know, when we were in Israel, we were just who we were, and we felt like we were witnessing to the people. We didn't give them any specific scriptures. We didn't give them any this long, you know, prayer of the righteous and stuff like that. We were just who we were, and it rubbed off on who they were. And they wanted to be like what we were because they saw the peace of God. They saw our passion for Christ. That's all people need to see from you, your passion and your testimony. This is who I was. This is who I am. It can be for you. God's not partial. What the Jordan is to Israel, which is life, you and I must become to the world. Jordan is the place where you receive, listen, it's where you receive the revelation of who God really is. Not a religious experience of just getting saved and you know you're going to heaven. But Jordan's a place where you now come to the point where you really know, like what Teresa found out in that closet, of who God really is and who you really are. And then the anointing takes over. When you realize how powerful and almighty and sovereign and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation of the universe, who He really is and how a speck of dust you are in time. Then, when you tap into this, you're going to know what the anointing really is and when it takes over. And I'm telling you today that the anointing will take over when you cross the Jordan. When you get one foot out of the world and both feet on the other side into the promised land. Elijah took Elisha across and Elisha received it. Jesus took Peter to the base of Mount Hermon. That's the source of the, you know, at Mount Hermon, that's the source of the Jordan River. Jesus took Peter to the base of Mount Hermon where the Jordan flows mightily, and Peter did what? He received it. What did he receive? Revelation. The revelation that Jesus was the Christ. Elisha received from Elijah at that point revelation. What is it that you want me to do for you? He knew, I have the opportunity to be a crown prince. I know who God is. I know you've already taught me at Gilgal. You've already taught me at Bethel. I've seen it happen at Jericho. I've grown. I'm getting across this other side, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going for the gold. I want it all. And he received it. And Peter, when he received it, let's look and see what he received. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. See, Jordan on the other side is a place of revelation. I don't hear from God. I really want to know what God's plan is for my life. And if I change the way I'm living right now and go for God, am I going to really be secure? I mean, I've got all these questions in my mind. I'm telling you that on the other side of the Jordan, when you visited these other three places and you've devoted your life to God and you've poured your life out and you're empty and you get God fill it, you're going to receive revelation. And it's the revelation that brings the anointing. It's the revelation. Because what is it? Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. So when you receive revelation, in other words, God's speaking into your heart, the anointing's there, because then you're gonna do what he tells you to do. Go heal this person. Go get that person out of bed. Go do this. Go do that. Preach the word. Go back. Just sit down and don't do anything. Do you understand that? In this land of Canaan, revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ is what brings the anointing. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, when we went to Caesarea Philippi, there were 50 other gods they were worshiping. We saw the remnants of that. Till Paul brought Jesus, and Jesus kind of knocked them all over. And if you go over there, you'll see all those things knocked all over. And that, yes, that happened literally, but spiritually, Jesus Christ became the center of Philippi. And at that place, they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you? So I'm asking all of you today, who do you say that he is, that I am? Is that verse 17? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Well, how does that happen? God's in heaven. You're here. Hello. We don't have a cell phone that can reach that far. Yet. Do we? Is there a satellite system where you can reach God? Yeah, you do. You have a built-in satellite system. It's called prayer. It's called prayer. Revelation from the Father is how Jesus operated all his life. When you enter into your calling and the anointing comes, the way that you operate in the anointing is by hearing the Father. Revelation is the place that you need to get to, where you're hearing God's voice, where you're not asking and coming into church, I don't hear God's voice. Have you visited Gilgal? Have you visited Bethel? Have you visited Jericho? Have you abandoned everything? Have you poured yourself out? Are you totally and completely aware that you can ask God and say, God, I want everything you got, but he's only going to give you everything he has when you're empty? He's not going to share you with devils. He's not going to share you with the world. He's going to pour into you when you've poured yourself out. Crossing the Jordan is where the revelation of Jesus becomes a genuine life-changing reality, where God can then fill you completely with his identity. See, we want God and everything else too. And most of us don't have all that strong anointing because we're still hanging on to things along with him. This is where prayer and fasting become a way of life instead of a difficult decision to make. Did you hear that? This is where prayer and fasting become a way of life instead of a difficult decision that I have to make. Oh God, can I fast for 2 days? Can I make it a day? Do I have to do it for a week? You're calling me to what? On the other side of the Jordan, prayer and fasting become a way of life because it's a pouring out of yourself before God. See, we're classifying fasting in just one way, and we shouldn't do that. What is fasting? It is a pouring of yourself out before God. It's a denying of all the things that you want for yourself. And you don't just fast food, you know. Back then, there weren't a whole lot of things that keep you busy like they do today with texting and TV and all of the movies and everything else that's going on in your life and dirt bikes and cars and trucks and automobiles and planes. They pretty much worked for a living and ate. So if anything was going to divide their time back then to keep them from pouring themselves out for God, it was generally around meals. Today, in our contemporary society, it goes well beyond food for you to pour yourself out and to give up and to pour yourself into God. You got to give up a heck of a lot more than food for that week you're fasting if you really want to get in touch with God. What difference does it make if you deny yourself food but you're playing 5 hours on Nintendo?
Amen.
Just saying. It's a denying. This is what fasting is, a denying of the things that you want for yourself. You empty yourself of anything that gets in the way of time with God so that He will pour Himself out into you where self once was. And the more you empty yourself of you, the more He fills you with Himself. That's how revelation comes and the anointing comes and the anointing is increased. Peter got it. Matthew 16, 17 and 18. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon," like we read before, "because flesh and blood didn't reveal, but my Father in heaven." Next verse. "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell, will not overpower it." That's such a strong line. When Peter confessed the revelation that he received from Father God about Jesus being the Christ, Jesus was literally standing on a rock in Bennaeus. And he used this rock as a metaphor, as he was accustomed to teach with. We all know that. He would take seed and he would explain his parable with the seed as he scattered the seed. Well, he's standing on a rock and he wasn't talking about a rock and he wasn't talking about Peter because Peter's name means rock. As he was standing on this rock in Bennaeus, he used it as a metaphor and this is what he said. "Upon this, a foundational rock, upon this revelation," because see, Peter was there at that base of Mount Hermon looking for revelation, wanting to know more of who God was. And the Father, when Jesus asked the question, supernaturally gave him the revelation, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Upon that foundational rock, I'm going to build my church, and all of hell will never be able to come against my name." That's powerful. The revelation of Jesus, your testimony, is the most powerful tool along with the blood of the Lamb that'll change the world. Paul did it, the disciples did it, and you can do it. The anointing of power and authority, binding and loosing, will become yours when Jesus truly becomes Christ, Lord of your life. Matthew 16, 19. Jesus follows the revelation of himself through Peter with this. When revelation comes and you're in touch with the Father and you've got the anointing and it's powerful because you're on the other side of the Jordan and you've emptied yourself of you and you're receiving revelation from the Father, he says, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Oh, man. That's worth giving up everything in this life, in the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. Because there's only one more after this anyway. But you know what I'm saying? The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Keys, open doors. They accomplish things. You get in. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. So when you begin binding things and saying that, "No, devil, that's as far as you go and no further," it'll be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, Holy Spirit, sick them. Take Dan over and fill him with a double portion of the crown prince anointing. And whatever you loose it on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. This is tremendous authority that God is not just entrusting to somebody who visits Gilgal and gets saved and sits in church the rest of their life and doesn't do anything else. But for someone who's crossed the Jordan and is receiving the promises of God and revelation is being downloaded, you're going to lay hands on the sick and you're going to see them get up.
That's right.
It's where we need to visit. So today's message, as I wind it up, and I know I went a little long. Well, actually, it's 12 o'clock. I did great. I did good. So the message today about Jordan is basically this. It is to so identify with Jesus Christ that we are able to pour our lives out unto Him. You see, Jesus poured His life out for us, resulting in our inheritance of what? The riches. We read it in here. It's all through the Bible. We gain the riches of the kingdom. He talks about treasure in heaven. He talks about riches. It's far beyond anything you could even imagine and what you could possibly build on this earth. There's no business you can build that will far exceed the riches you're going to expect and receive in heaven. But this is what he says. Pour yourself out now. It'll result in the inheritance of the riches of his kingdom. Just like the Jordan River pours out all of its life for Israel, we said, culminating in the riches of the Dead Sea. You're saying the riches of the Dead Sea? I thought it was the dead. Oh, study the. I challenge you to go home and study the Dead Sea. You see, the Dead Sea remains the richest single place on our planet. Did you know that? The Dead Sea is the richest single place on our planet. There are more natural minerals being mined there constantly than in any other place on our planet. Matter of fact, I heard from one person, and this is now I'm getting off the Bible and stuff like that, but Russia and all the other countries and stuff like that understand exactly what Israel has within the Dead Sea and those riches. And folks, at the end of time, they're going to want it because there's going to be such an economic collapse that riches of those Dead Sea. Can you see now where all the armies of the world are going to converge in Armageddon to go after Israel, this little tiny little country that's really like a little pimple on an elephant's behind? If you think about it, in the natural, the center of the world, attention drawn to it every day, and they're no bigger than South Carolina amidst this entire vast world we live in. But they contain the riches, the most powerful place on the planet as far as riches are concerned, at the bottom of their Dead Sea. And mind you, even though they're dead right now spiritually because they have not received the Messiah having already come, one day they will. And the center of the world that began with where the world began is going to be where the world's going to end, this world, until the New Jerusalem descends upon the Old Jerusalem. So do you see it? From Mount Hermon to the Dead Sea, pouring your life out, giving life to Israel, and then winding up in the Dead Sea, but you're not really dead. You're alive unto Christ, and there's more riches when you end up in that place. When you get buried into that ground, you'll have more riches than you could ever, ever dream. What a metaphor. What a parallel. You guys could go out and preach that on the street tomorrow. From Mount Hermon to the Dead Sea. Pouring your life out but ending up with the greatest riches untold and never seen before. That's what God wants from you. But you got to get to the Jordan in order to experience it. Have you gone to the Jordan? That's what the meaning is. Pouring your life out completely for Him in return for the riches of the kingdom of God. Now, there's more lessons here at Jordan. I'm going to save them for next week. In fact, next week is really good. It's a lot shorter, but it's really, really powerful. I'm not lying. Shame the devil. I'd tell him if I was lying. No, it is. I've already planned next week's lesson, unless God changes it, and I know it is. So I can say that. Hey, I'll repent when the day comes. Folks, all I'm going to ask you today as we listen to this last song, make the decision to cross over and enter into your divine destiny.